I'm turning this evening to the Gospel of John, chapter 5 and verse 28. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 28, the words of Christ, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And our title is "The Final Shock of History." A tremendous and stunning shock to so many people. So much so that the Lord begins with these words, "Marvel not at this." Do not be astonished at even hearing about this, that the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. That is Christ's voice. There is, according to the Bible, a set hour to which all creation moves. The manifestation of Christ, the eternal Son of God, second person of the Godhead, one God, but three persons. And he through whom the entire universe, according to the teaching of the Bible, was made, all was deputed to him, Christ the Lord, the eternal Son of God, he will manifest himself and be revealed and come. And when that happens, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. The dead shall rise. There will be a resurrection of the just, those people who are related to God and walk with him, and there will be a resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of the just, well, these are people who have gone to paradise. They've lived their life on earth. During the course of that, they've been humbled by the Lord and brought to seek him and desire him and have found him. We'll say more about that. And they've walked with him and their sins are forgiven and they're accepted by God, not on account of their righteousness, but for what Christ has done for them. And they belong to him. And they will have glorified bodies when they die. Their disembodied souls, I'm sorry, the word is inelegant, but their disembodied souls go to be with Christ, waiting for the end of time and the general judgment, when according to the Bible, they will receive glorious bodies, which we cannot describe, adapted for heaven and the eternal realm. And this very earth will be destroyed by a great conflagration and will be entirely reconstituted and somehow made spiritual also. Earth and heaven, you might say, in a sense, combined. And there will be the glorious, eternal dwelling place with God of all those who've come to know him. Yes, in glorious, glorified bodies. But lost souls will receive bodies only for the purpose of judgment. Now that's the teaching of Christ. It is amazing in these secular days how ignorant people are about the teaching of the Bible. It's amazing how little people know. Instruction has dropped completely out of the reckoning. And people live and die without knowing any of these things, without knowing about eternity, without knowing about a personal God, without knowing that they can be reconciled with God, without caring, without wanting it. But here we find these words, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." The words of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It says here, the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now, what form that will take, we're not precisely told, but it will be his voice. Not necessarily literally his voice, but everyone will know it's his command. It's from him. It's his word. Christ, the Creator, has commanded a resurrection to judgment, a calling of people to the great day of account. He will be the authority. In various pages of Scripture, it's differently described. Sometimes it's symbolized. It's the voice of a trumpet, but it's his voice. However, whatever it may sound like, however it will be presented worldwide, it'll be known that this is the command of Christ, that everything has come to an end and that everyone must stand in judgment. Marvel not at this. It was addressed to them, of course. It's the same of us. Why should we be amazed? Why should we be astonished at teaching like this? Surprised by it? Shocked by it? Why? And that's the question which I'm going to answer this evening. But before I do so, very quickly, we're talking about Christ Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Creator of all things to whom we must give account. We're talking about the man of love. We're talking about loving kindness personified. God, who came from heaven to be our representative, to be our scapegoat, to be our sin bearer, to go to Calvary's cross and take the punishment of sin on behalf of all those who trusted in him and purge away the judgment and the guilt and the sin so that he could thereby purchase their salvation and everlasting bliss. We're talking about the man of love, and it is he who will be the judge in the last day. What a terrible thing if we will not have him as Saviour and Lord, to find we have to face him as judge. There are different ways one could illustrate this. It's like throwing away something precious. Many years ago, I remember the case of a very sad man who used to come to see us at this church sometimes for help or for assistance, but he was a hopeless alcoholic, and he tried drying out, but he didn't have the will. He didn't want to be helped, and he would constantly slip back into this, and eventually was found dead in a doorway across the River Thames there. But what people didn't know about him is that he was a qualified surgeon. And it was as a practicing surgeon that he started to drink. And he'd had so much affection and help and friendship, but he threw it all away. What a tragic situation. He would not be helped by any amount of kindness or assistance. It's like us. The one who would be your Saviour will stand and be your judge, and you will be just a tragedy at the end of life's journey, when you could have had all the blessings of the love of God and the work of Christ to save your soul. He is the man of love, true image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed, brightness of uncreated light, the heart of God revealed, the Saviour who came to suffer and die to purchase redemption for us. Well, verse 24 here, and I'm going to come to the point, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. For all who sincerely repent and come to Christ, they may know his saving power. But to come to this most interesting verse, marvel not at this, verse 28, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Well, don't be astonished that the world is going to end. Don't be amazed at hearing this statement, that the voice of God will call it to a halt. This is a world that's got to end anyway. However you look at it, it's coming to an end. Look, we've just got all the climate talks, and everybody seems to agree, if science can be totally relied upon, well, there are terrible things ahead. I needn't recount them to you. And because of global warming, there's going to be mammoth population shift that the world will be utterly unable to handle, many times greater than anything we've seen up to now. There are going to be dire shortages of food and water. Everything's going into the melting pot. And it all depends, so they say, on whether nations can get together and curb their emissions and so on and take various different measures. And there's absolutely no sign of it. The great polluters of the world aren't going to move, and nothing's going to persuade them. So don't be surprised that the Bible says there's an end coming, that the world is not intended to go on, that God will bring it to an end. If Christ didn't come and say the word, things are going to come to a horrible end anyway, one way and another. And then you could look at it not only from that point of view, but you can look at it politically. What a precarious world we're in. A world of such turmoil. A world of enemies, east and west. Geographical poles, nations and continents opposed to each other. But not only that, but even with ideology and religion. There are people who are giving the most dire prophecies about what will happen when the final battle comes between humanism and Islam. Yes, what will happen? How's that going to be resolved? This great battle for dominance, which surely lies ahead. It's not just a matter of geography and nations against each other, it's systems and ideologies, all kinds of things we could point to in the turmoil of this unstable world. Why should anybody be shocked or surprised to open the Bible and find, oh, the end of the world is taught, but not by human beings bringing it about, by God intervening, by the Creator in the first place saying, enough is enough. Enough rebellion, enough atheism, enough godlessness, enough sin, and come and bring it to an end. Don't be amazed. Marvel not at this, says the Lord, this information that the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Don't be astonished at that. The arms race, where's it going? Is it going to be suspended with nothing happening forever? Of course not. If God was not to end things, the human race would ultimately tear itself apart. Then there's another thing I can say. Don't be astonished about the end of the world. Why, biblically, there are so many prophecies about it. There are so many statements through the Bible that the end will come and there'll be a great and final judgment. And those prophecies are remarkable, that when the end times draw near, certain things will happen in society. There'll be an overturning of all moral values and standards. Something unprecedented will happen along these lines. And at the same time, there'll be great warnings to the world, and catastrophes will take place. And don't we begin to see these things with the great moral upheaval of the world? And we're going through a pandemic warning even now. But the great prophecies point to a gathering of the pace as the end draws near. Marvel not at this. We've seen so much of these prophecies in the scripture. We shouldn't be amazed or surprised that such a thing is going to happen. There are all kinds of other things I can advance. But here's the great purpose of this verse. Marvel not at this, listen carefully, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now, this is the main reason for marvel not at this. It is as though the Lord is saying to them, this is the Jewish leaders who he was addressing here, why should you be so surprised that the world's end is coming at the voice of the Messiah, at the voice of a man? Why should that shock you? Because actually that is the main point of the passage. Why should you be astonished and amazed at this? You see, those Jewish leaders, they were thinking, what's it got to do with a man? If the world comes to an end, if such a thing should ever happen, well, that will be an act of God. Where does a man come into it? They didn't understand. So the Lord says, marvel not at this, that it's going to be by a man's voice. My voice, he meant. A Saviour's voice, the Messiah's voice. Why should you be so astonished that a man will give the authoritative, executive word to end world history? Why should it amaze you so much? It shouldn't have surprised them, because that was the teaching of the Old Testament prophets about the great descendant of Adam and Eve, the great descendant of Abraham who would one day come, the great descendant of David, the one through whom all the nations would be blessed, the one who would bring access to Almighty God, the one who would be the Saviour of so many millions of people in the human race. That's what the Bible is all about. And all the Old Testament predictions, this coming Son of God, the Son of Man, the Prince of Peace. Why should it so astonish you, leading Jews? Christ seems to say to them that by the voice of such a one, the world should be brought to an end. And it's the answer to this you must understand, friends. Because salvation depends upon such a person. If it were not for Christ the Lord coming from heaven to this earth, his incarnation, going to Calvary's cross, taking the place of of all who would be forgiven and suffering their punishment. There would be no future. God would have ended the world long ago. There would be no saved people, no people in heaven. It depends upon the Son of God. Why should it surprise you? Because they didn't understand that, you see. They read their Old Testament scriptures. They read Isaiah chapter 53 about how the Messiah would come and suffer and die for the sins of others. But they didn't believe it and take it in. This is about a special person who will be God incarnate. He'll be man, but he'll be God. And he's coming, and he alone can suffer the punishment of our sin and rise again and live. Why should you be surprised? Because of unbelief. Because of not understanding that it all depends upon God the Son coming into this world. And that's the basis of this. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. He is the one that matters. Now there's a double sense here in this verse. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. And he's just said that it now is already. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. What does he mean? Well, it is now, says Christ. This is happening, but it's happening spiritually. Because the call of God goes out. Christ gave it himself. His apostles followed him. The prophets gave it in the Old Testament. The call of God goes out. Come to me, says God. Trust in me, and I will forgive your sin. And I will make you my children and take you home to heaven and to glory. And what happens is this. Many people hear that call and ignore it and steel themselves against it. But many others, as the blessing of God and the power of the Spirit working in their hearts, they hear it and they're humbled and they say, this is to me. I am a lost sinner and I need salvation and I need a new life and I need heaven and glory. I will come and repent of my sin and trust in Christ the Saviour. The hour is coming, and now is. It's happening spiritually, even now. Right now, you're not in your graves, but spiritually you are. You're spiritually dead, physically alive, but spiritually already buried. You don't know God, feel him, speak with him, relate to him. But when you hear the voice of the Son of God, you come out of that spiritual death. And you seek him and find him, and he changes you. You are converted to him, and you walk with him and love him. So it has a present sense at the spiritual level. The hour is coming, and now is, that people will hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth and live. But then the hour is coming at the end of time that I've mentioned earlier, when Christ's voice is heard throughout the world, and time ends, and everybody is summoned before God. The people who've been converted with great delight and anticipation. The people who have spat in the face of God and rejected him, gripped with fear and horror. Because it's the day of final reckoning and judgment. So is a dual sense when the Lord says, marvel not at this, the hour is coming. And earlier he'd said, and now is, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. I hope there are people here, you are spiritually in your graves because you don't know the Lord. But oh, that you'll hear his voice. Come out and live. Come and repent of sin. Come and embrace Christ. Come and depend upon him. It has to be like this. Why should you be so surprised that it is Christ who gives the word for the end of the world? You shouldn't be. We need a sin bearer. God is pure and holy. He cannot overlook sin. He cannot let it go. Sin is a defilement to him of his whole moral universe. It must be punished. And my sin and your sin must be punished. But here's Christ, in his amazing love, has come to take our place. And he's allowed himself to be arrested and nailed to the cross of Calvary. And he says, as it were, to the Father, put their guilt upon me and punish me. And all those who will repent of sin and come to him, their sin was put on Christ, on Calvary's cross. The substitutionary atoning death of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Don't be surprised that he's at the centre of everything. That he is the one who will call us to final account, either to glory or to judgment. There was a lady in this church years ago. She was American. She and her husband were in London because I think her husband was some sort of oil executive, had a job here for a while. And they came to this church. And she was a highly intelligent lady. And yet she told me something very surprising. She was brought up in Texas. And when she was a little girl, until she was surprisingly old as a little girl, she admitted she didn't know there was anywhere in the world outside Texas. Texas is a big state. As you know, they have a reputation for doing everything big. You can imagine, little mite, she didn't know there was a world outside. And she said it was quite a blow to her, I suppose, like discovering there's no Father Christmas. It was quite a blow to her to discover that there was a world beyond Texas. And to come to terms with this, and strangers and outsiders, and so on. And I've often thought of that, because you know there are people who go right through their lives like that lady when she was a little girl. And all their lives, they think there's nowhere outside this world. And there's no eternity. And there's no God. And there's no heaven. And there's no hell. And they choose to go through life with these very limited horizons. There's only Texas, or what I can see and touch and hear about on the news. There's nothing else. And some of our greatest brains, and I mean that, brilliant people, have somehow shut themselves in to this idea of life. But there's nothing else. There's nothing beyond. Says the Lord, don't be shocked. Don't in the last day find yourself confronted with an enormous shock. There is something outside. Everything that matters most is outside. Everything that's wonderful and unsearchable is outside. Almighty God is outside. The Saviour of the world is outside. Don't be shocked when we say there's a day coming in the which everyone in the grave, that is all those bodies, will hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth to the resurrection of eternal glory or the resurrection of judgment. Don't let it be a shock, a surprise. Don't be surprised tonight. Be ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and to depend upon him and to look to him. That's the meaning of this passage. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Let's pray together. O Lord, come and help us tonight. We pray that thou wilt bring seeking souls to repentance of sin and to trust in Christ of Calvary, that they may find him and know him and love him. O Lord, look upon us all and deliver us from the night of ignorance and foolishness. Humble us in our hearts and bring us to see the glorious loving kindness of the Lord and all that he has done. We ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.